A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we're in Sundance, sort of virtually this year, as has happened last year as well. Today, I am joined by the producers of Calendar Girls, and that is Maria Luhuford and Luve Martinson. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
First of all, you're in Sweden because you couldn't make it to Sundance because of the restrictions that got in place.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
We're in our home in a suburb of Stockholm.
Your film, and it's one of the documentaries at Sundance Film Festival, it takes place in Florida about a group of women of certain age, as we shall say. How did you discover this group of women in Florida?
Actually, Maria's dad used to have a house in Cape Coral, which is the city where most of it is filmed. So we used to go there like every year for, I think, 10, even more than 10, 15 years or something. So we've been there a lot on vacation. And about 4 years ago, we went there on a longer vacation because we just had our second baby. He was 3 months old. So we just thought, let's go to Florida and stay there for a while we're on parent leave. So that's when we were there. We were at an event called Touch a Truck in Cape Coral, where we were with our kids to look at like big trucks and fire trucks, police cars, and everything you can think of. So they got to look at them and sit and honk the horns and everything.
Our oldest son was like 3 at the time, and
he was crazy about cars. So we were there, and all of a sudden, these women climb up the back of a truck and start dancing. And we've never seen anything like it before. And we were just very, like,
fascinated by them.
And their fantastic energy, and like that they also take up this space and do these wonderful dances.
So we couldn't stop looking at them.
Yeah, so we just got curious and wanted to know more about them. So that's how it started.
Was it because of their age? Because these are all women who are over 60 who are dancing, or was it their costumes or combination?
Of course, it was their age at first. That you don't see women of their age dancing like this, in at least not in Sweden. I don't know if it's more common in the US, but in Sweden we don't see these older women doing these performances in these kinds of quilts. So it was the whole thing, I guess.
Yes, and it made us so very happy and fascinating, and we thought, oh, what is this? It was also a bit strange for us. I guess it's somehow we get mixed emotions because I guess we just weren't used to it and we faced our own prejudice.
Yeah.
Is that the word?
Prejudice. Yeah. Like we have about older people, that maybe should they be doing this, or is this appropriate in their age? That was like the mixed emotion, but that we didn't really... Well, we just saw that in ourselves, that we had this thought, and that sparked the idea of why are we thinking like this even? Is that like our mental picture of the older women is like really out of date?
Because of course they should dance like this, yeah. Of course. It's just in our head, we had an outdated image, yes.
Yeah.
So that's older
what sparked the idea of maybe we could start filming them and see what, learn more about it and see what they're about.
The one thing that I liked was any money that they raised from their dances, they were donating to the guide dogs. And I think there were some other organizations possibly along the way. But they were doing this obviously to keep themselves fit or energized and just moving. Once you retire, sometimes you kind of just stop moving, as we also saw in the film with some of the characters. But I enjoyed the idea that they were being philanthropic at the same time.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And that's all very important. They talk a lot about giving back to the community, and that's great. That's really great. And they chose Southeastern Guide Dogs at their charity, and they've been sponsoring, I guess, 25 guide dogs so far. That's great.
I did miss in the film, I saw that they were handing out leaflets and talking about the guide dogs, but what I did miss was not actually seeing the organization that they were helping to support. That was one thing I felt was missing in the film, was that just you didn't have an opportunity to do that?
We filmed it. We absolutely did. But I guess it was so hundreds of hours that we had to cut down to 83. So that's why.
And we also wanted the film to focus more on that's not really the focus of the film. The focus is more about being this age and more about their lives than it is about their charity, or even if that's a very interesting thing as well. But we really wanted the film to be like more into their
more about them,
and their life. So that's why we had to leave stuff like that out, just to so we can do the film too long.
That would have been a different film, I guess. Yeah, but we're really happy that
could also be a film, but
could talk a lot about this now when they are getting famous.
And they have been getting a lot more interest people have started writing and doing interviews about the film. They also gotten a lot of more interest about their charity and as them as a group. So I think that's really going to help them as well.
I have to tell you that I will never, ever be able to hear the Christmas song, O Come All Ye Faithful, without seeing pink unicorns in my head ever again.
That's nice.
That's good.
That was like amazing. I just love that.
Yeah.
But you know, how long has this group been going? I get that members come and go, but somebody had to start.
Catherine, who's in the film, who is the leader, she's also the founder, and she started the team 16 years ago. So she's been doing it for 16 years.
And there are some other team members with this group for so long.
Yeah.
But most of the women come and go, but it's a few of them that's been there for 16 years.
I want but Catherine's it's... body now, not just even as a 60, 70-year-old. Come on.
She's really something. She works out so much, and she's really disciplined, and she has this.
She does boot camp every morning at 7 o'clock, I guess. Yeah. So she's terrific.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm assuming you've kept up with the people that you filmed. So, you know, even after you stopped filming, you know how their lives have been going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them, or most of them,
We're still in touch.
If it's not giving away too much from the film, can you, because I just felt heartsick for the woman who had the gastrointestinal issues and she had to quit and she was constantly losing weight because of this. Where is she? How is she at this point?
She's okay. She's struggling with this disease, but she's fine. She's able to live a full life and to work. She just can't dance, but she's still a part of the dance team in some way. She's making these t-shirts and she's a really good dancer, so sometimes she helps out with the technique for the other dancers and the new dancers, so she's part of the team absolutely, but she just can't dance and do all the shows because
is she still working, because her work was also extremely physical?
She still works.
She's able to work, so that's
but
that's
she has to focus on the work, so that's why she can't do the dance. She can't really
just to keep the energy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
She's okay.
A lot of these women were already retired, a few were working because they had to financially.
Yeah.
How do they pay? How do a lot of these members pay for the costumes that they are doing? Is it out of their own pocket, or does some of the money that they raise go back to props and costumes and things like that?
Yeah, I think all the costumes they do themselves. Like maybe they have to buy some things, but they try to really keep the costs low.
Yeah, so like they save the money for the charity.
Yeah.
So they don't pay, but sometimes they make like the hats that Fran is doing, the hats, and I think sometimes they buy it from
like dollar store and they buy something cheap and then they
glam it up
themselves. So I don't think they have to spend that much money on it.
No.
But I guess they take it from the earnings they get. I think it's a bit different, or sometimes someone buys a lot of stuff for.
Yes, but they try to keep it.
I don't think that's
to save the money for them,
yeah,
for the dog.
What have you learned from seeing women of a certain age, or the, you know, the social security set, who are so active in their lives?
It's so inspiring. It really is. We want to get old and to have more freedom. Maybe if you can stay healthy, then it could be a really fantastic time of your life when your kids are grown up and you don't have to, hopefully you don't have to work that much and you can spend time with your friends again and do fun stuff. So
it's really made us not be so scared of growing older, because you can really see how their lives are even, maybe even better now, or at least just as good as it has been before.
Are you going to try to form one of these groups over in Sweden and show the Swedish society like this can be done?
Yeah,
I would love that.
Yeah. Well, you can do whatever. It doesn't have to be about dancing. It could be about anything that you should do what you want, because everyone isn't fit to dance. Maybe you like something else, but the point is that you can just do whatever you want and don't feel that your age has to stop you.
Or that you have to be like a professional of something, just if
just do it,
do something, it's just do it.
I really enjoyed that theme about just continue to grow and learn new things even after you retire or are over the 60 set, 70 set. Yeah, some of those women in there even look like they might have been in their 80s.
Yeah, the oldest one is 79, I think.
Yeah, when we filmed, yes. Yeah, but that's the thing. If you keep evolving, you won't feel as old, I think. If you want to learn new stuff, try new stuff, it's your life is going to be fun until the end.
Have you heard, because some of the spouses weren't as supportive as we may have wanted them to be, since this film is getting so much attention, have you heard about how their spouses are reacting now?
I don't know how many spouses that have seen it yet.
No, it's still we've just shown it to the girls in the film.
Yeah. So maybe after the
premiere. A lot of them are supportive too. So I don't know. We don't really know. We haven't talked about that.
No. But, we showed it to the whole team a few weeks ago, but there were no spouses allowed in that screening. We don't know. We'll see.
I know when a lot of these women originally were married, our society was different. You know, the woman always supported what the man did, and you really weren't supposed to want a career at all, let alone just do something that your husband wouldn't necessarily approve of. Times have changed, but sometimes the people's, what they grew up with, their ideals, they haven't changed. And so it was really interesting to see the dynamic, especially in the one relationship that we concentrated on, how that evolved. And for me, I would be like, hey, the husband's gone, man, I'm going dancing, I don't care what what he says. But again, she didn't grow up that way. She's moving toward that, but she is still rooted in her time when she grew up as well.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's a big, that's the thing about what the film's about, like what kinds of expectations you have from yourself or from the society. Most of them can be maybe from yourself on how should you behave when you're a grandma. I'm a grandma. Can I still dance in these clothes? I'm a wife. Can I go out dancing all the time, or should I maybe stay home more? Or so you have, like you said, it could be from that how your parents were when they were older. Yeah. So I think that's a big part was interesting with the film, that it takes up these questions about, and that's the same thing with, like we mentioned, with our prejudice.
That
it's not really, we understand that it's wrong to think that way, but still it's so in your program, your head is programmed with these images of how what a grandmother is. So it's time to start showing new role models for how a grandmother can be. Yeah. I think we haven't seen that much in films, at least portraits of women this age. They're always like stereotypical. A grandmother is a grandmother, and nothing
and
else.
Only a grandmother, but you can be both.
But you can be a grandmother, and you can be a entertainer, dancer, or dancing out on truck beds.
Right. Is there anything else you want us to learn or take from this movie that you have?
I think we said it all, like to get inspired and to not being afraid of getting older and to stay active
and don't take yourself so serious. Try to have fun.
Yes.
Love that. Well, thank you so much to my guests. We have Maria Lehufud and Luve Martinson. They are the producers of Calendar Girls, which can be seen at Sundance Film Festival. And has it been picked up by anybody else yet? Is it going to be marketed outside of Sundance?
Yeah, it's. We have an American distributor, so it's going to be in cinemas from May, hopefully, or
May
early
or June,
summer.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in film festivals, hopefully all over the US.
And all over the world, hopefully.
Yeah, and we have a cinema distribution in Sweden, so you can see it here in March. It's going to be premiered. And we have got a lot of interest from other European countries as well. So hopefully all over the world very soon.
Great. That is awesome. So if somebody doesn't log in or sign up for the Sundance Film Festival this week, they still have many other opportunities.
They will.
Yes, they will.
And again, it's a documentary about women of a certain age who are, man, they're hoots. I loved it. I loved watching that. So again, thank you to my guests, Maria Lehufud and Luve Martinson.
Thank you. Thank you. So nice being here.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.